Good evening.
Good evening.
Open Bibles tonight to 2 Peter in chapter 2. Don't let the troubles get you down.
Amen.
That's a good song. It's probably easier to sing than it is to practice that song. Well, let's talk about baseball and basketball. Makes me wonder about this side. They are entertainment. Before long, Brian and Trina have us a big old court and a baseball diamond out back. My baseball career was real short, about 2 years. I was telling last night about the strike zone. My basketball career was even shorter. Why are you laughing about? One day I was downtown in Poland passing out tracts and these two big black guys came walking down the sidewalk and I used my Sherlock Holmes deduction that they were not Polish, so I spoke English to them, you know, and turned out they were there in Warsaw trying out for a basketball team, kind of like a triple A or quadruple A basketball team, you know. And these were some big guys. I mean, they were giants in my eyes. So we're just chatting, you know, about this and that. And so I said, hey, you guys, this is a Friday. I said, what do y'all do on Saturday? What are y'all doing tomorrow morning? And they said, why? I said, well, every Saturday morning we play basketball. And I didn't invite you guys out to come play basketball. One of these guys looked at me. He says, Joe, now tell me, you play basketball? I want you to know, I showed up and he didn't. He must have been scared. He was worried, I think. He has some excuse, but I know better. 2 Peter in chapter 2. I'm going to start reading verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Say a word of prayer. God, we thank you tonight for your grace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for the truth that you've given to us. I pray not you would bless your word. I pray you'd give me the right words to preach, that you would just fill me with your spirit and have your way in every life and every heart tonight. Or that we would be somehow touched tonight by your Holy Spirit and be more pleasing in your sight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the person of Lot is really an amazing story. It's this one phrase here in verse 7, it says he delivered just Lot. You know, if you didn't read this verse in the New Testament, you would never guess that Lot was just.
Right.
You'd never think he was a righteous man. You would bet every dollar you've got that Lot ended up in hell. But it says here that God delivered Lot. He delivered a just man. And, of course, not in any righteousness that Lot himself had. But you need to understand the story of Lot because if Lot was a just man, I mean, if you can believe what this verse says, Lot was a just man, and if you are a just man or a just woman tonight, there is no difference between you and Lot. In other words, you can fall into the same traps that Lot fell into. Being just, being saved, being forgiven, having everlasting life does not mean that you are free from the dangers that Lot himself faced. And so Lot was a secure man. I'm not sure he knew that, but we find here that God delivered a just man from this wicked city. But turn now in your Bibles to Genesis in chapter 13. I would like to go through a few things tonight with you about Lot, because I think that One of the best ways to avoid problems is to learn from other people's mistakes. I don't think that you have to make the same mistakes that your father made or your brother made or your mother made. I think you'd be wise if you learn from other people's mistakes. And you'll find yourself a lot happier and pleasing God. If we read in Genesis chapter 13, we read in verse 1, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now we all know that Abram was a blessed man. We all know that God made Abraham a great promise to be father of a great nation. And we find here that Lot was with Abram, and Lot was rich also. Now Lot, just because he was with Abram, was a blessed man. The very fact that he was walking with Abram, he was Abram's nephew, he's going with him all over the place, he's blessed and he's wealthy. Because Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham pleased God. You know how we know that? We read the other night that it says without faith it is impossible to please God. So Abraham pleased God. It's a wise thing to do to find somebody that pleases God and stick with him. You'd be a very wise man if, and a wise woman. I'll be politically correct tonight. I don't want to offend any of you women folk in this room. You'll be a very wise person if you'll find someone that pleases God and walk with that person. Abraham was a man of faith. He was a wealthy man. Man, he had a lot of stuff. If he was alive today, he probably had several garages and several boats and just incredible wealth. He was a very wealthy man. But we also find, and we'll see this later on tonight, that he was a man of compassion. And he was a man of integrity. He made a promise to God and kept that promise. He promised God he wouldn't take anything from the king of Sodom, and he didn't take it. He was a man of integrity. He kept his word. And Lot was with Abram, and Lot was blessed because of that. Now I want you to understand tonight that the potential for Lot was great. Oh, the potential he had. Can you think about the potential he had if he'd been stuck with Abram for the rest of his life? You know the problem tonight is we often forget the potential that's out there. Think about potential. You know, a long time ago, I don't know when it was, and I'm not very good at all these historical dates and stuff, but a long time ago, somebody saw these big, big, enormous flowing rivers and thought, you know, if we could just build some kind of a structure to hold this water back and make it come down in all these tubes, you know, and we could make electricity. And you know what? They did. And they can now power entire cities. You know why? They saw potential. They saw, wow, we can do something with all this water. There is a lot of strength in this water. There is a lot of potential here, and they did something about it. We tonight ought to realize the potential we have of being blessed by God. Amen. The potential is great. Do you realize the blessings God has in store for you? Do you realize what God can do? I mean, there is no limit. There is no limit. He is the God of the universe. He created everything. He just spoke the word, and there was light. He spoke the word, and all these planets and all these stars. He just said a few words, and everything that is out there was created. You realize what God can do for you? You realize what you can do if you'll just be in the will of God? I mean, do you realize what God can provide for you? You realize what kind of work you can see God do if you'll just be in His will? Oh, how many times, I'm afraid, we forget the potential for yourself, for your family, for your descendants. Oh, think about not just yourself. Think about your kids and your grandkids. But you know, Lot made a mistake. Lot made a mistake that I'm afraid many of us have made or are going to make. And that is, I believe that Lot didn't realize why he was being blessed. You know, maybe Lot thought, well, I'm Abraham's nephew. I got it made. No, he didn't have it made. Being Abraham's nephew was not enough, was it? Being Abraham's nephew was not the answer. We'll find out in a few minutes here. I'm afraid that sometimes we think that God blesses us because of our talents or our gifts or who we are or who we're related to. I want you to understand tonight that it's not why God blesses. You know what God blesses? God blesses right decisions. God blesses when you make a decision that is according to the Word of God. Not necessarily because you're related to somebody that made a good decision. I don't care if it's your father or your brother or your wife or your husband. God is not obligated to bless you in spite of your decisions. Now that doesn't mean that you won't reap some blessing. But don't ever think that it's guaranteed. The blessing of God is not guaranteed in spite of all your bad decisions. God just might throw you a curveball and you realize, hey, what happened here? I want to show some things to you tonight about Lot. Because I want you to understand that it does matter. It does matter what decisions you make. Amen. You think it doesn't matter what kind of a job you have? You think it doesn't matter what kind of a woman you marry? Yeah. You think it doesn't matter what kind of a man you marry? You think it doesn't matter how much you read your Bible? Or how often you go to church? You think it doesn't matter all these things that you have to decide about every day of your life? Decisions are important. They matter. If you are saved tonight, you should not act like the world. It says, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. Any religion is fine. Any church is good enough for me. Any Bible is great. Anybody I pray to is good enough. They're all the same thing. Every God is the same thing. That's how the world thinks. And if you're saved tonight, you know that's not true. You know there's only one way to heaven. You know there's only one Savior. You know there's only one God who created everything. And yet, how many times do we act like, well, it don't matter. This is not making it that important. I mean, if I marry her or I marry her, what's the difference? There may be a big difference. You better be careful. I mean, if I go to church once a week or once a year, what's the big deal? There is a big deal. And you're going to find out, if you're not careful, you're going to find out that those kind of decisions are going to get you in trouble. It does matter. It matters how much you're committed to the work of the gospel. It matters. In the end, it really matters. Let's look in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 5. I want to look tonight at the fall of Lot. In spite of his potential, Lot had some problems. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. He had abundance. You know, abundance is not bad, but it's dangerous. Look at America today. Man, abundance everywhere. And yet, people are forgetting God. People are forgetting where the abundance came from. People are forgetting who really provides what they have. We are forgetting that if God so wills, we won't have a job tomorrow. If God so wills, we won't have a house tomorrow. If God so will, that stock market will be down in the basement tomorrow. Nothing is guaranteed. And I don't care how much stock you own. I don't care how smart you think you are. That stock market is not as stable as you think it is. Man, people have lost their shirts before. And it just might happen again. It says in Psalm 62, 10, it says, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Amen. I'm not saying it's not okay to have abundance. If God gives you abundance, thank Him for it. If He gives you abundance, you ought to understand that God gave it to you and use it for His glory. But, be careful. Don't set your heart on abundance. God just might say, it's time for that abundance to go away. Riches have ways of making wings and sprouting off. Lot had abundance. And I'm afraid that Lot set his heart upon his abundance. We find in verse 7 of the same chapter, and there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. All of a sudden, we've got problems. They've got a lot of stuff. They've got a lot of animals. They've got a lot of possessions. They have abundance of things. And now they've got problems. Isn't that how it happens? How many marriages are in trouble today because of abundance? How much strife is in families today because of abundance? When they were just barely making it, when they were just surviving from hand to mouth, everything was okay. I mean, they didn't have a lot of things, but man, he gets a good job, and then he gets a good second job, and the wife gets a job, and a second job, and all of a sudden there's strife. You think, what happened? How come? That's the problem. Set your heart upon riches. You're going to have strife. And I don't know what the strife was. Maybe Lot's herdsmen thought that they should have the first shot at the water hole, you know, and I don't know what it was, but they were just having problems. They're fighting amongst themselves. They've got strife because of the abundance. Look in Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. You know, read that to those who preach the prosperity gospel. I thank God for the things and the abundance that we enjoy. But God says better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You know, money is not the answer to all your problems. Amen. Abundance is not the solution to the problems in your home. And yet, so many people have strife tonight because they thought that the answer was money. The answer was things. Well, there's strife. There's strife in the camp. And Lot's going to make some bad decisions here. Go back to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13, verse 8. It's amazing how many times problems are because of money. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. For we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. What amazing grace Abraham had. He didn't preach at him. He said, okay, look, I don't want problems. It's okay. Just take your choice. Take your pick. You just pick whatever you want, and I'll go the other way. Abraham had peace. And he gave Lot first choice. Now Lot's first mistake was he actually entertained the idea. I mean, Lot should have, when Abram first said, you know, we shouldn't have strife, Lot should have said, you're right, Abram, I am so stupid. I mean, I realize God has blessed you. It's because of you that I'm blessed. I'm sorry, I'm going to fire all these guys, hire some new ones, and we will have no more problems. But Lot just let him talk and talk and talk. He listened and he entertained the idea. Many of us have had problems just like that because we entertained stupid and foolish ideas. There are people tonight with destroyed families because they entertained stupid, foolish, evil ideas. There are people that actually go into a marriage already entertaining the idea of divorce. They say, well, you know, if it don't work out, we'll just split up. No big deal. What chance will your marriage have if you start off saying, well, you know, we'll just get divorced. Hey, no problem. We'll just sign a piece of paper and I'll be taken care of. Let me tell you, that is the dumbest way to start off a marriage. You're doomed for failure. You're not going to make it. If you already, from the very beginning, decide that divorce is the first answer to the problem. He entertained the idea. What ideas are you entertaining tonight? What ideas is the devil putting in your mind? Things that you could do to maybe ease the stress of your life or to make your life more interesting or more exciting or less monotonous. I don't know. What ideas are you entertaining tonight? The fact is most of them are probably not very good and you ought to confess them as sin and you ought to get as far away from them as you possibly can and seek God's face. Lot entertained a very, very bad idea. Brother Lindell speaks about people in this church, we've come and gone. They get mad about something and they're gone. And hey, it's fine, you know. We're not going to go off and try to bring them back by force. They want to be here. That's okay. We understand. But the fact is, many of them entertained a bad idea because now they're not serving God. Now they're not living for the Lord. Verse 10, we read, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. That must have been quite a place. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah looked like the garden of Eden? Wow! No wonder Lot was deceived. No wonder Lot chose that part of the world. Man, that was quite a place. But Lot made a mistake. He lifted up his eyes. He lifted up his eyes and saw. He saw something attractive. He saw something that really pleased his eyes, the lust of the eyes. He saw something that really made him feel good. He may have seen potential. He may have seen a nice plot of land. He could buy this piece of land and build him a nice log cabin out there, you know, and have it just made in the shade and have lots of pasture for his cows. He probably saw great potential. And he used the wrong eyes. He lifted up his material eyes and he looked at the plain of Jordan before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, the problem with many of us is we forget that there is a tomorrow. We forget that there is an after today. We think about today and the pleasures of today and the here and now and what I want now, how it will feel now, what it will look like now, but we forget about tomorrow. Things change. Even beauty changes. Even pleasure changes. Even abundance changes. And the most attractive job changes. The most attractive woman changes. The most attractive man changes. Things change. And Lot didn't think about that. He said, oh, wow, look at this place. I can make it better. I can do something with this place. What are you lifting up your eyes at tonight? What is it that's caught your attention? Some other man at work? You feel like you're bored or something and some other man at work is more attractive or some woman at work, some nice, cute 20-year-old blonde is attractive and somehow that's caught your attention, you better be careful. You better realize that it's not of God. You better not even entertain the idea. You better understand that things change. And even that little 20-year-old blonde, she won't be 20-year-old for the rest of her life. One day she'll be old too. And you'll be older, and then what are you going to do? Lot lifted up his eyes. He made a big mistake. He didn't think about tomorrow. He didn't think about God's will. He didn't think about what's right. He just looked for pleasure. What are you looking at tonight? Maybe it's an unsaved boyfriend, a girlfriend. Maybe you think, wow, you know, this is really great, you know? Maybe she really caught your attention. Maybe she really just is so smooth and makes you feel so good and promises you so much. I don't know. But you better be careful because you're probably using the wrong eyes. You're probably not looking at that young lady with the eyes of faith, the eyes of your flesh. What is it that you're looking at? Maybe it's just pleasures. Maybe it's just this world. I mean, man, this world's got it. Whatever you want, it is there. I mean, it's available. You don't have to go to the theater anymore. You can just rent it in your home and you can just go anywhere you want on any given night and have all the pleasure you want. And it's Vanity Fair out there. Maybe that's caught your eyes. Maybe that's what you really want to live for. Making you really, really excited. It just really, makes you happy. The devil always has a way of painting a pretty picture. He can make the worst thing look so glamorous. He can make the most wicked sin seem so beautiful. Hollywood has been doing it for years. They make the most gross sins that you would not even think about, make it look so beautiful, and we'll pay $6.50 to see it. Oh man, the devil has it all figured out, and he deceives us every day. And we look upon these things in our eyes and say, wow, isn't that great? No, it's not, really. Not great at all. In Poland, there are a lot of drunks. Drunks all over the place. They just love that vodka. But to this day, I've not seen a single ad in the paper or on TV showing this drunk on the side of the road saying how great vodka is. They just don't show it. No, because the devil doesn't show you the other side. He doesn't show you tomorrow. He shows you tonight. He shows you the pleasure of now. He shows you the pleasure of this very moment. And that's it. But if you're wise, you'll think about the next picture on the next page, about what you're going to pay. How much is going to cost you tomorrow? How much is going to cost your wife or your husband? How much it will cost your parents? How much it will cost your own kids and your grandkids? And what the church itself will suffer for the decisions you make? Amen. Lot looked, lifted up his eyes, and beheld all the plain, and he was convinced that it was really worth having. In verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. After seeing it all, he made a conscious decision. He chose it. I don't want to hear this stuff about, well, you know, just how it happened. I mean, I was just there and it happened. No, it didn't just happen. You chose this. You made a conscious decision. You made an effort to do it this way and not that way. And now you're stuck with the consequences. He chose it. It wasn't thrown in his lap. It wasn't given to him by birth. He chose it. Oh, but we can find all kinds of ways to excuse ourselves, can't we? We ain't talking about that for the last few days, haven't we? Oh, it's not my fault. It must be his fault. It must be their fault. It must be God's fault. No, it is our fault. He chose it. He chose this place that was so beautiful. When it's all said and done, you have no one to blame but yourself. You make a conscious decision. He chose all the plain of Jordan, and he journeyed. He just took off. Some of you may be ready to take off. I don't know. Some of you may be looking at all these things. I mean, the opportunity may have been presented, and you're looking, and it looks good, and you're choosing, and you're getting ready just to take off on your journey to find yourself, or to find your happiness, or to find whatever is pleasing to you, and you think it's going to all work out just super without any problems. You're not very wise. Look at Lot. Learn from Lot. Think about Lot, and you'll see that it is not worth the investment. In verse 11, the last part says, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Oh, what a tragedy. Can you imagine separating yourselves from Abraham? I mean, you can't even imagine separating yourselves from the United States of America. Can you imagine giving up your citizenship and finding the most depraved, the most wicked, the poorest nation on the face of the earth and becoming a citizen there? You wouldn't even consider doing that. And yet Lot, he chose to separate from Abraham, the man that God had spoken to and made such great promises to. What kind of blessings, what kind of potential are you separating yourself from tonight? What kind of things are you entertaining tonight? What kind of potential are you considering throwing away and giving up for the rest of your life? Or even for a short time. You think it's worth it? Even for a night or a week or a month or a year? Lot separated himself from Abraham. In verse 12, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of his plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Boy, he's camping out. Boy, he's ready. It didn't take him long. He saw it, and he grabbed his pup tent, and he took off. Man, he had it all figured out. He was maybe tired of Abraham. Maybe he was tired of all the rules. Maybe he was tired of Abraham being in control. Maybe he was tired of just being second fiddle. I don't know what he was tired of, but he left, and it didn't take him long to set up his tent toward Sodom and says, this is where I want to be. I want this view of Sodom. I'm going to have my eyes on that plot of land, and as soon as the first sale sign on that plot of land, I'm going to be there to buy it. I'm ready to do it. It is what I want. He pitched his tent. Maybe he just thought he'd be there for a while. I don't know. Maybe he thought, I'll just camp out here for a week, and you know, I'll just give it a shot. I'll see how nice this place is. Don't worry, I'll be back. Don't worry. I just want to have a little bit of fun for a few moments, for a few days. I'll be back. I need a vacation from God. So he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners. So why? And that's really stupid, isn't it? Pitch your tent toward a wicked city? I mean, how dumb can you get? Well, you know, I'm not living there. Yeah, but you got your tent pitched toward it. I mean, that's all you're going to see all day and all night. That's all you're going to hear all day and all night. Why do you want to be so close to it? I mean, it's one thing to have to work in this world, but you don't have to live in it and just enjoy all the nonsense and the wickedness and the perversions of this world. Lot pitches his tent toward Sodom. And this place was a wicked, wicked place. A place full of sodomites and homosexuals. A place full of perverse and gross sin that would make your toenails curl. And yet Lot says, that's where I want to be. I want that to be my front view. I want a picture window right there. I want to see all this. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. Maybe for a short time. I don't know. But if you look at chapter 14, verse 12, chapter 14 and verse 12. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and departed. Whatever Lot's intention was, he ended up living right in town. He may have intended on being there a short time. He may have intended on a weekend camping trip. I don't know. But I know one thing. He ended up living there. He ended up moving right in with him. You think you're just there for a weekend? You think you're just going to be a short excursion? Just a little bit of fun, a little bit of time for myself, a little bit of time with the world. I'm just going to have a little bit of fun for a few days and I'll be back. Are you going to guarantee that? Lot didn't come back. Not for a while. He ended up right in the middle of it all. You know, maybe he was just tired of being a nomad. That can get pretty wearisome. You're living in tents. Maybe you're just tired of running around the wilderness, running around with Abram and all these camels and all these oxen and all these animals and all these tents and just having to pick up tents every day and put them away. Maybe he's just getting tired of it all. Maybe he's just wanting to just have a place to live and roof over his head and not have to worry about anything anymore. Maybe you're just tired of being a nomad. Maybe you're tired of having just to barely make it, just be able to get by. Maybe you think that there's more out there, more abundance if you just do things a little bit different than God says. Maybe you're entertaining things that are not right because you just want a little bit more comfort, a little bit more things, and you're willing to sacrifice your family or your church or sacrifice your own spiritual walk just to have a little bit more comfort. Maybe so. But you know, he started off this tent towards Sodom and ended up living right in the middle of it. There's a verse I want to read to you. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You see, it's a progressive thing. Oh, you start off a day or two or weekend, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, just a little bit of a taste of this or that. And you think, no, it's just a little bit. It's just for a short time. It's just a little bit. But you know what happens? That little bit isn't enough. The little bit doesn't satisfy you like you thought it would. And pretty soon you need a little bit more. And pretty soon you need a whole lot more. And then you're in so deep you don't know how to get out of it. Whether it's pornography, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's fornication, it doesn't matter what it is. The sins and the pleasures of this life start off saying you just need a little bit, but before long you realize you can't get enough and you can't get out of it. Oh, and Lot thought, man, I'm just going to pitch my tent. But before long, maybe his wife said, hey, Lot, let's get a little closer. I mean, look at that house right in there. We'll get that house for a bargain. I mean, why not live right in the middle of it all? Wouldn't that be great? Save on bus fare and save on gasoline. We'd be right there downtown. Yeah, let's do it. He moved right to the city. He's making some bad decisions. He's really making some bad ones. Just getting worse and worse too. Question is, what about you? Are you making the same dumb decisions over and over? No matter what happens, you just keep making dumb decisions based upon the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and what gives you pleasure, what makes you feel good. And you think, man, I got it all figured out, but you don't have it figured out because you're not happy. You don't have peace and you're not satisfied and you're finding out that it's not as good as it sounded. It's not as good as it looked and your flesh requires more and more of the same. Well, in chapter 14, verse 14, "And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan." Wow. Lot ends up being captive. Yeah, man, you think you got it all figured out, right? You're going to be free. You're going to be free. I'm going to get out and be my own person. I'm going to have some freedom and do whatever I want. Don't you realize that you're already free? Amen. Don't you realize that that is freedom? Being in the will of God is total freedom. Amen. Freedom to do right. Freedom to enjoy God's blessing. Freedom to be with people who love God. That is true freedom. Amen. Before long, Lot was captive. He wasn't free. He was more captive than he ever thought he was. Remember I said a few minutes ago that Abraham was a compassionate person? What compassion? Well, he made his bed, he can sleep in it. No, that's not what he said. Well, see, it serves him right. I tried telling him to stick around here, but no, he had to go on to his own thing. Is that what Abraham said? No, that's not what he said. You know what Abraham did? He got up. He took 318 of his own personally trained men and he went after Lot to rescue him. Don't you realize who really cares for you? Don't you realize who loves you? You think the world cares about you? You think the devil cares about you? You think your friends really care for you? They don't care about you at all. As long as you are living like they are happy because their conscience has no problems.
That's right.
But as soon as you say, hey, that's not right, then you are in trouble. You are blackballed and you are marked for life. But all you do what they want to do, you march to their beat and everything is just super. Everything is great. But as soon as you get in trouble, they won't be there. They won't care about you. You think they're going to be worried that you are now a dope addict, now you're in some rehab place? They won't look you up. You think they're going to care that you're locked up in the drunk tank downtown? They're going to visit you in jail? No, they're not. They don't care about you. Or you get sick because you're horsing around with fornication and you end up with AIDS. You think they're going to care about you and really, really be concerned about you and your soul? They won't. Because they don't love and they don't care. But you know what? You have probably already seen what kind of people really care. Who really loves? You've probably seen in your own experience, seen where somebody maybe in this church or somewhere else got out of the will of God and got messed up with sin, got messed up with this world, and when they got into trouble and called for help, guess who came running? Who cared for souls, who went out and helped them and nursed them back to health and helped them get over their problem and helped them obtain victory from their sin and temptation. Abram was a compassionate man. He was really a true friend of Lot. If there was bitterness there, you didn't see it. If Abraham was bitter, he didn't show it. I mean, he went in his own expense to rescue Lot. He fed him and he took care of him and he did all he had to do to go out there and rescue Lot. People in this church have paid the expense to help you out and prayed for you, labored on their knees praying for you. Maybe it's mom and dad, maybe it's pastors, maybe it's people, other family members who have labored and prayed for your soul. And you know why? Because no one else cares for your soul. Not out there in the world. They don't care about you at all. Lot had someone who cared for him. And if you are a Christian today, you have someone who cares for you. You ought to realize that. And yet, in chapter 19, in verse 1, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Can you believe it? Can you believe Lot went back to that place? He chose this place. When he got there, after a while he was taken captive, he saw what was there in that place. He's taken captive, taken away, rescued, and he goes back to the same cesspool, to the same pigsty, to the same sewer drainage. Rescued by Abraham, cared for, maybe nursed back to health, and he goes right back to the place where he was taken captive. Not only that, look where he's at. He's in the gate. Man, he's been given a promotion. Man, he's now one of the respected men of the city, it looks like. I mean, he's got some kind of authority, it looks like. He's not just in a little old, you know, pipsqueak there now. He has got some respect in the place. He's in the gate of Sodom. He started off with his tent pitched towards Sodom. Now he's sitting down in the gate in Sodom. Doesn't seem like a very wise man. And it gets worse. The angels come to rescue Lot and his family. Verse 1 says, there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Verse 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. This is the place that Lot has decided to make his, to put his family. He has bought a house and living in this pitiful, sickening mess. These men of the city,
They want Lot to deliver these two angels to them because they are homosexuals and they want to have their way with them. And Lot is living in this mess. Is that the kind of mess you want to live in? You think it's any better today? Oh, it's more glorified. It looks nicer. I mean, it make it look so cool. It may look so nice and so glorious. It may look so pure and so clean and so neat and so fun. It is not a bit better. It is the same sorry, disgusting mess. And I'm not just talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about all that, all the sinful pleasures that this world offers, whether it's alcohol or pornography or fornication or drugs or anything else that you may be tempted with day by day. It's the same old mess. Verse 7, and Lot says, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters. You think things were bad up until now? You think Lot was being stupid up until now? You ain't seen nothing. You think Lot was off his rocker up until now? I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Is it possible? Is this really possible? Is this some kind of a fairy tale? No, this is true. This is what God said. Lot stooped so low, and he offered these men his own daughters. You think it's preposterous? It happens every day. It happens all the time. How many times have they busted up these child pornography rings? How many times have they found these men who are abusing their own daughters? It happens today. Don't act like this is some faraway fairy tale. It doesn't happen today, so it doesn't apply to me. It doesn't apply to us. It won't happen here, so I have nothing to worry about. Yeah, you do. Amen. He loses his head. He loses it. He just blew it. Well, you're going to pay the price. Because the Bible says that what you sow, you reap. The Bible says that you sow the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. And that tells me that when you reap something, you're going to reap a whole lot more than you sowed. I mean, you want some corn? Just plant one little thing of corn. You're going to get a whole stalk with 3 or 4 or 5 ears of corn. It's great if you're sowing corn. It's super if you're sowing wheat. It's great if you're sowing tomatoes or whatever else. But you better be careful, because you sow wild oats and you reap wild oats abundantly. Well, in verse 9 of chapter 19, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. Are you surprised? These men in the city, they say, who do you think you are, buddy? You came in a few days ago, now you're going to be our judge? I mean, you're an outsider. You don't belong here anyway. We'll take care of you. We'll fix you, buddy. Are you surprised? You shouldn't be. These are the same men that wouldn't rescue Lot when he was prisoner. These are the same ones that didn't care about Lot when he was out there, who knows where, as a prisoner. They didn't care about him. And as soon as he crossed them, they were on the other side. As soon as Lot crossed them, man, there was no more friendship. When Lot said, no, wait a minute. Maybe we shouldn't do it this way. They said, we'll take care of you. What did Lot lose? He lost his influence. He had no influence over these guys. He couldn't sway them. He couldn't change them. You think you're going to change the world? You think you're going to change your friends by being like them? You think you're going to change that girl by marrying her when she's unsaved? You think so? You think by marrying that strapping young boy who's 6'4" and just really is a hunk, but he doesn't love God, he doesn't serve God, doesn't even know God, you think that after you marry him, you're going to have influence over him? You are fooling yourself. Amen. If you cannot sway him now, you ain't got a chance to sway him later. That's right. No, but you don't understand. He really loves me. Give me a break. He really loves me. Yeah. How many times did he try to get you in bed? Well, I haven't done it yet, but how many times has he tried? He lost his influence. Oh, you may justify yourself. You say, but I know so-and-so. I mean, she married a guy who wasn't saved, and look now. Oh, you better realize that was the mercy of God. Yeah. You better realize that God didn't guarantee that ever. And for every one of those that you know about, you ask some of the people in this room, and they'll tell you of dozens others that didn't work out that way. Right. What about them? Oh, you don't count those, do you? You don't count those numbers. You're like these Democrats that do these polls at certain times of the day, you know? Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Call everybody and poll them. Well, I wonder why all they get is these people who don't love God on the answer on the phone. All the ones that fear God are in church. And so all they do is poll these people who are living for the devil. They say, look, everybody agrees. And we ought to make homosexuality legal and all this other stuff, you know? That's what everybody wants. Fool. You ain't that stupid, are you? What are you counting? What numbers are you going by? What polls are you listening to? He lost his influence. If that young man won't come to church now before he marries you, he won't darken the door after you're married. If he don't care about what you believe right now when you're just seeing him, you think he's going to care about your God and your Bible and your church after he has what he wants? You're not that stupid, are you? I hope not. You young men, the same goes for you. You think you can influence that girl once she marries you? You think you're going to have her all figured out? You think you're bigger and stronger? Oh, she can make your life so miserable. Oh, you think all I got to do is get her to marry me and then I'll just carry her to church. Oh, yeah, right. You are such a big talker. You are pathetic. Yeah, you think you got her all figured out. You think that you are the one going to run that place, don't you? Big talker. Before long, you'll be going with her on Sunday morning to the mall, shopping for things and doing all these nice little things, cool things, because you don't want to cross her. Because when you cross her, she will make your life a living hell. And you think, oh, but I love this girl. She just really means so much to me, and she wants to make me happy. No, if she's not saved, you better be careful. Amen. Once you marry her, your influence is down to zero. And she'll do what she wants, and her family will help her do what she wants, and you'll be all by yourself. Don't be stupid. Don't just look at the one that turned out miraculously good, because they don't all turn out good. Someone turned out bad, terrible, tragic. He lost his influence. He lost the influence of the men of the city. He lost his influence of his own sons-in-law. He went to his sons-in-law. We read in chapter 19 and verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, tell me another one. That is cool. You mean like fire and brimstone? I mean like really bad stuff? Yeah, I mean it's going to be bad. Yeah, really cool. That's great, you know. They didn't believe a word he said. They mocked him. They come on, you got to be kidding me. You think God's going to destroy this place? Why? Why couldn't Lot influence his own sons-in-law? He lost it, if he ever had it. He had no influence. He lost his influence and he lost his faith. Look at verse 16. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him out of the city. Why would he be lingering? Why would Lot not be in a rush to get out of that place? Why wouldn't Lot say, hey man, this is going to be bad? He didn't believe it, obviously. He didn't think it was that critical. He lingered, packing his thing, locking up the house, changing oil in his car. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, we'll get out of here one of these days. Yeah, I'm going to move out. Yeah, we'll get out of here, you know, maybe this evening, you know. My wife's still packing her things, too, and that takes her quite a while to pack up all her things, you know. She got lots of hats and shoes, and, well, you know, it's all right. Don't worry. No rush. Take your time. Why is he lingering? He didn't believe God anymore. He didn't think it was that critical. He didn't realize how close he was. You realize how close you are? Are you lingering? Have you forgotten what God has said? You've forgotten how this thing's going to end up? You've forgotten that one day you are going to face God? And that one day could be today? We had a funeral here on Saturday. And the day before, I think, or 2 days before, my mom called up a neighbor of theirs in Lakey. Lives about 2 blocks from my mom and dad's house. I talked to this man just a few weeks ago. Seemed to be in good health. Not anymore. Praise the Lord, he was a saved man. But you know what? He's not here anymore. 2 funerals in the same week, in the same subdivision, in the same area. Hey, it's going to happen. It happens every day. Have you forgotten that it's appointed to men once to die? Have you forgotten how this thing is going to wind up one of these days? Are you living in the fairy tale world? Forgetting to look at the things that are really important? He had no faith. He had no trust. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said to them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me and saved my life, and I cannot escape the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Come on! What more do we have to do for you? I mean, we came here and we took you out of the city. We tried to drag you out of this place. And now you don't believe us that that's a place where you'll be safe. No, I don't know. I just don't know. I'm afraid that I'll die over there. He lingers in Sodom and he's worried about going outside of Sodom. He didn't trust God. He didn't trust God's care. Are you trusting God's care tonight? Are you living by faith? Are you walking by sight? Are you just trusting your own smart answers and your own wisdom and your own way of figuring things out? And you're doing things your way instead of trusting God? That's what Lot was doing. He couldn't trust God anymore. He was afraid that he was going to die after being rescued by the angels of God. Verse 26, we find his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. He lost his companion. You think that what you've got is guaranteed to you as long as you live? You think your kids or your companion is guaranteed to you? And God has an obligation to just make sure that everything is just fine for as long as you live? You make some bad decisions, you're going to pay the price. You're going to suffer some loss. You might suffer the loss that Lot suffered. He lost his own wife. How many times we think it's okay? I'll do this and I'll come back and everything will be just like I left it. How do you know? I'll have this little affair or whatever. I'll just do this little, have this little fun on the side, a little weekend thing, you know, and I'll come back and everything will be just fine. No, not necessarily. Because the Bible says that you ought to be sure that your sin finds you out. And when your sin finds you out, brother, I'm telling you, there ain't no guarantee what you're going to find back at home. There ain't no guarantee how things at home are going to look when you come back. There's going to be some loss. You better understand that. Mark it down. You're going to come back and things will be different. You're going to lose. You're not going to win. Lot lost his companion. And for all we know, she was the reason he went to Sodom in the first place. For all we know, he went there because she wanted to be in a better place. I don't know. Maybe it was Lot, maybe it was her, but can you imagine? He goes down to Sodom because his wife wants a nicer place to live, and then he loses her anyway? That wasn't very smart, was it? He had no estate. He lost his estate. Man, he may have had a nice place. He may have had quite a mansion down there. He may have had a nice place to live, and he lost it. What am I saying? Am I saying you can't have a nice place to live? No, I think you ought to have a nice place to live. That's great. I'm glad you have a nice place to live. But you better understand that there's something more than that.
Yes.
You better not live for that estate. You better not make decisions based on the estate you live on. You better not make decisions on how to make this place better and better and not even think about what God wants or God's will or the needs of this church. You better think about the eternity and not about just the estate you live on. There are other things more important, and one day that estate you've got is going to be left behind. And what are you worried about? You're going to come back one day. And it'll all be yours.
Amen.
And you're so worried about this and that. No, it's too small. It's too this. It's too that. Hey, don't worry about it. One day you're going to be the owner of all this place.
He's so caught up. He lost his estate. And at the end, he lost his own self-respect. In verse 31, we read, and the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the man of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine. We will lie with him. We may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and their firstborn went in and lay with their father, and so on and so on and so on until they both laid down and slept with their own father and became pregnant by their own father. You think this is a fairy tale, some horror story? This is true. Lot lost everything. What can he say now? Can he hold his head high now?
He walk into the place, wherever, I don't care if it's the next city over, or the next court over, or wherever he is. Can he walk into his head held high and be proud of what he's done? No, he has no self-respect. He has no influence, he has no companion, he has no estate, no place to go to, and he is a ruined man. All because he made some foolish decisions. All because he left the place of potential. All because he made decisions based upon beauty and pleasure instead of based upon the blessing of God. Amen. He forgot. He forgot that God blessed him because he had made a decision to stay with Abraham. And the moment he left that, he lost it. He lost the blessing of God. He lost the protection of God. He lost the abundance of God. He lost everything. Why don't you learn from lots of mistakes? You don't even have to get close. You can start from the very beginning. You can stop it in the first step. When the idea even comes into your mind, you can get that out of there. You can flee it. Confess it as sin. Find something to do. Open God's Word. Find, go to church. Do something. But don't entertain the idea of sinful, worldly pleasure of any kind whatsoever. You don't have to go down to Sodom. You don't have to sit in the gate. You don't have to lose influence. You don't have to lose your companion. You can start right now before you even get close and say, I am not going to allow myself to get close to that. I'm going to make good decisions. But you'll have to do that every single day. Brother Lindell says that people come up to him all the time and say, oh, I love this church. I just love it. I wouldn't leave it for nothing. You can't kick me out of this place. You won't have to. You'll leave on your own accord. Some people just come because it sounds cool and great, you know, and as long as you're preaching against sins or everybody else in the church, they love it. Man, as long as you're preaching against homosexuality, a lot of people like it in this city, in this part of the country. As long as you're preaching against queers and drunks and abortionists and everything else, everybody loves it. Amen! And they love it. Boy, you start preaching about their own sin, whether it's gossip or their tongue or their being so stingy. Man, all of a sudden that great church ain't so great anymore. What I'm trying to say is you have to make that decision every day. Let's say, by the grace of God, I'm right here. By the grace of God, I'm not in Sodom. By the grace of God, I haven't pitched my tent towards Sodom yet, but oh God, help me. God, have mercy upon me. Don't let me be deceived. And don't ever say, I'll never do that kind of thing. I'll never leave this place. Don't say that. Amen. Save yourself a lot of embarrassment. And you might as well stick around. Learn from Lot's mistakes. God blesses decisions. Good ones. Based on faith. God blesses decisions when you look at the end result and say, yeah, this is the way to go. God blesses them when you say, no, this is a bad decision. It looks good now, but it'll do this tomorrow. I don't want that. I'll lose this. I'll lose that. It'll cost me this. I ain't going to do it. Don't rely on your relationship. Don't rely on family. Don't think because you are the nephew of Abraham that you are guaranteed blessing and goodness and abundance and everything else. There ain't no guarantee, no matter who you are. No matter who your daddy is, who your daddy was. No matter who your son is, who your son was, it doesn't matter. God is no respecter of persons. He don't care. What he cares about is what decisions you make. Are you going to trust God and fear God and believe God? Or are you going to believe and trust your own sinful flesh? Learn from lost decisions. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm going to finish, don't you worry. I know that Spurs game lasts longer than this, so you can endure a little bit longer. Huh? Got all night. Glad to hear that. I got 3 more sermons in my Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. It's a whole lot better. It's a whole lot more healthy. It's a whole lot more peaceful if you remember God before things get bad. It's a lot better if you look at the end result and say, no, I'm going to choose God's way before, while the evil days come not. Don't wait till the evil days come. Don't wait till things get bad. Don't wait till you've lost half of everything you've got. Don't wait till you've lost all your influence and half your family and half of whatever you've got of self-respect and influence. Don't wait till you've lost it. Remember now. And she was right. Because one day, if you don't, you'll say, I have no place in them. You see, the problem is that one day you'll look back and say, it really wasn't that great. You know, I look at these guys, I see them downtown here and in Poland, and they're walking around in shorts and no shirt, and they are literally, totally, completely covered in tattoos. You know, I cannot believe that there's a single one of those guys over 50 that really is proud of that. I mean, come on, give me a break. Surely when you're 65 years old, you're not proud of all that nonsense, that mess on your body. Man, when they were 25, they thought they were really something. Man, look at me. I am so stupid. Man, I am really an idiot. Look at me. Don't you wish you were as dumb as I was? One day, that fun and that pleasure and all that nonsense and that messing with the world, you're going to look back and say, boy, that was a wasted time. Yeah. Wasted years. A wasted life. Wasted opportunity. Great potential down the drain. I could have had so much. And I have so little to show. Because I made some dumb decisions. You see, Lot didn't know that things and pleasures are not worth the investment. They're not worth it. It's going to cost way too much. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The pleasures of sin for a season. That's all it's going to last. It's for a season. The world will make you think that it's worth it, but believe me, it's going to be shorter than you think. Because before long, you've got guilt, and you've got a lost family, or you've got lost influence, or you've got lost kids, and you've lost everything you had for a little bit of pleasure. It wasn't worth it. It will not be worth it. It's a bad investment. You're going to lose. You know, I see about 5 years ago, they put a billboard up in Warsaw advertising cigarettes. There's a law now in Poland that you've got to have like 1/4 or something like that. 1/4 of the billboard for cigarettes has to have a warning about the dangers of cigarette smoking. And maybe 1/3, because it's big, huge letters in black. Black letters, white background. Warning, cigarette smoking causes cancer and heart disease. Something like that. A little bit different language, but something like that. Cigarette smoking is going to kill you. That's what it says. Warning. I mean, you can't miss it. And above that, the ad. Enjoy the moment. Oh, I love it. I love it. It is perfect. It is beautiful. Enjoy the moment, because that's all you're going to get.
Right.
Are you stupid? They're already telling you what's going to happen. Poetic justice. I love it. This is beautiful. God said, yeah, that's a good one. Write that on there. That's a perfect one. Yeah. This guy said, yeah, it's going to be a good one. I'll write that on there. It's going to be a great ad for our cigarettes. We're going to sell a whole bunch of them. And I said, yeah, that's a good one. I couldn't have warned them better myself. I could have done a better job. Man, it's great. Enjoy the moment, because one day you're going to die from all this stuff. Are you enjoying the moment? If you are, that's all you're going to get. If you're enjoying it, my friend, tonight, that's all that's going to last is a moment. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. What are you looking at tonight? Lot looked at the things he could see. He looked at the pleasures, at the riches, at the abundance. He looked at the green plain. He looked at the possibilities. He looked at what he could enjoy. He looked at the fun and the happiness and the maybe even the investment opportunity in Sodom. But he forgot to look at something he couldn't see. He forgot that there's something you can't see. There is a coming day. There is a coming judgment. There is a coming place which is far better than all the things the world offers. Why are you wasting your time with the toys and the trash and the rust that this world offers you when there is something so much better? I have not seen, nor ear heard about all these things. You realize what is out there? You realize what God is preparing for us up there in that heavenly home? And you think this is fun? You don't know what fun is.
Yeah.
It's going to get so much better.
Praise the Lord.
Why don't you look at the things you can't see? Put on the other pair of glasses. Look at the things through the glasses of faith and believe what God said. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Don't worry. I'm almost done. I've already gone so long now. Y'all probably won't get anybody back tomorrow night, so I'm going to get you one last shot. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 says... I think it's 2:9. Maybe it's not. I think it's going to be 2 Corinthians 2:9. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. No, that's not it either. Was that okay? All right. Oh, it's in chapter 1. No wonder. Chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him.
Amen.
You can't imagine. You have no idea. It don't get dark up there.
Amen.
It never gets dark.
Amen.
You don't even need the sun up there.
Right.
It's so bright. You're not going to cry. There'll be no pain. No pain. Nothing. And you're going to live forever and ever.
Amen.
Can you imagine anything on this earth better than that? I don't care what you say. What you've tried. Nothing compares to that. Because all these things are going to end one day. The best pleasure you've enjoyed is going to end, and it probably already brought you grief and heartache. And yet, that place is coming. No grief. No regrets. No heartache. No troubles. No pain. No crying. No tears. Maybe you're here tonight, and you don't know what I'm talking about. You think, what in the world is the big deal? I mean, we're just going to have fun and die, and that's all there is to it, right? Why not enjoy these things? Let's just have fun. No. That's not true. It says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, there is something after this life. It's not all going to end in just being eaten by the worms and that's it. There is something afterwards, and the Bible says, that to this lake of fire will go fearful people, unbelieving people, abominable murderers, whoremongers. You say, oh, I'm not a whoremonger. I'm not an abominable. I'm not an adulterer. I'm a pretty good person. Idolaters. You don't bow down to any kind of image. You don't worship the TV in front of your living room. I bet you do sometimes. Miss church because of it. Think it's more important than church, more important than God, more important than anything else. All liars. Gotcha. All liars. You can't get out of this one. I know better. You lie about your boss. You lie about your wife. You lie about your kid. You lie about your neighbors. You lie about yourself. You're a liar.
Amen.
All liars. You ain't got a chance. I don't care who you are. So you see, that place that is so great, that is so glorious, with no crying, no tears, no night, it's great, but not everyone is going there. Some people aren't going to be there. Liars won't be there. You say, well, how can that be? You're a liar. Well, that's true. The Bible says we're all liars. But you see, the fact is, the Bible says that there is a way. There is a way where an unjust man, there is a way where a liar, where a thief, where a drunkard, there is a way where an adulterer and an idolater can find forgiveness of sins and enjoy eternity with God. There is a way. It's an amazing thing. But it's a way. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm almost done. Sit tight. Sit tight. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Oh, you are unjust.
That's right.
Before God, you're unjust. Hey man, your own mom knows you're unjust. You can't fool God.
And yet Christ died for your sins. He died for your sins. And if you just come to Him, He said He'll save you. He died for your sins to make you just before God, to reconcile you to God. Christ died, the just for the unjust. And then it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. By believing on Jesus Christ, by putting your faith in Him as your only Savior, by confessing with your mouth, and He is the only way you can have forgiveness of sins, God said He will save you. And verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the only answer. That's the only way to enjoy that place. You can't go there by your religion, by your good works. You don't deserve it. You'll never deserve it. But you can come to Christ. Humble yourself. Call upon Him and be saved. It's a great place. What are you living for? Are you living for this world? Whether you're saved tonight or not, what are you living for? What decisions are you making? Are you gambling? Are you going to pay a terrible price to enjoy things of this life? Learn from Lot's mistakes. If you're lost, listen to the Word of God. It says that God will save you tonight if you'll simply call upon Him. He'll save your soul.